Chapter 10. Lying to George Emerson. I am not coming in for tea. Please tell Mother. I have some letters to write, Lucy told Cecil, and she quickly went up to her room. She was older and stronger now than in Florence, and ready to fight. Love that is shared, that our bodies need, and that is the most real thing in the world, seemed to her to be the worst thing in the world. She knew that she must kill it. The fight was between herself and the truth. As Lucy remembered Cecil, she told herself that George meant nothing to her. She sent for Miss Bartlett. "Something terrible has happened," she said when Miss Bartlett entered. "Do you know anything about Miss Lavish's new novel? There's a bit in it where the man and the woman kiss. Do you know about that?" Miss Bartlett looked surprised. "My dear Lucy, I know nothing about it." "There are violets. Charlotte, why did you tell her? It must be you."
"Tell her what?"
said Miss Bartlett, looking very uncomfortable. "About that terrible afternoon in February," said Lucy.
"Oh, no, she hasn't put that in her book,"
Lucy nodded.
"Then Eleanor Lavish won't be my friend any more."
"So you did tell her?"
"When I had tea with her in Rome, when we were talking, I..."
"Oh, Charlotte, what about the promise you gave me? Don't tell your mother, you said. But then you told Miss Lavish. Cecil read that part to me and to Mr. Emerson. Then Mr. Emerson kissed me again when Cecil wasn't looking."
"Oh, Lucy, I shall never forgive myself. Never. What if Cecil learns that..."
"I know. I see now why you wanted me to tell Cecil. You knew that he might learn about it from Miss Lavish. What am I going to do now?" Miss Bartlett could not think. She felt terrible. They were not in Italy, and she was not looking after Lucy now. She was just a guest, and a bad one. "George Emerson must stop this," said Lucy. "And who should tell him? Mother can't now, thanks to you. Will you speak to him?"
"I always said that he was bad. I'm glad I was right about that."
"Oh, who cares who was right or wrong?" argued Lucy, moving to the window. "George Emerson is still down there in the garden. Will you say something, or won't you? I want to know."
"I think it's something that only a man can do."
"Right," said Lucy. "If no one will help me, I'll speak to him myself. I can see Freddy taking him into the dining room. The others are in the garden. Let's do this quickly." She led the way downstairs to the dining room, where Freddy and George were looking to see if there was any food. "Please leave us," said Lucy to her brother. But as soon as she saw George, she felt her heart beat faster and her angry feelings turn to something else. "We will find food for Mr. Emerson," she added quickly. Freddy sang as he went back to the garden. Lucy sat down at the table, while Miss Bartlett, who looked very frightened, picked up a novel. "I can't have it, Mr. Emerson," Lucy started. She wanted to keep it short. "I cannot even talk to you. Get out of this house and never come back into it. Now go, please." "But I can't." She shook her head.
"Go, please. I do not want to call in Mr. Vice."
"You're not," he said, looking at her like Miss Bartlett was not in the room. You're not going to marry that man.
You are mad, she said quietly.
His words were louder than hers. You cannot live with vice. He cannot know anyone deeply. Have you ever spoken to him without feeling tired? I will not talk about... No, but have you? George went on. He is fine while he stays with things like novels or pictures. But he is terrible with people. That's why I have to speak. I could never say it if Cecil was a different person. But when I first saw him in the National Gallery, he laughed when my father made mistakes with the names of the painters. Then he came here and played unkind games with your neighbour. Every minute of his life, he is telling you what is good and right and womanly. And you listen to his voice, not your own. That is what I have seen. So I did not kiss you because of the book, and I'm not sorry. But it has frightened you, and you may not have noticed that I love you, and in a better way than Cecil does. I want you to have your own thoughts, even when I hold you in my arms. He stretched them towards her. Lucy, come to me as you came in the spring. I have loved you since that man died in the Piazza Signoria. I cannot live without you. I knew that you were marrying someone else, but when we met in the forest, I saw that nothing else mattered. I want to live and be happy. And Mr. Vice, said Lucy, I'll be his wife soon. Does he not matter? I have been in the dark, and I am going back into the dark, George replied quietly, turning to Miss Bartlett, who stood looking at the floor. You know now and next time you will not stop us. It is being young. It is knowing that Lucy cares for me, really. It's because love and being young matter. He quietly left the room. When they looked through the hall window, they saw him walking away from the house.
Oh, Lucy, what a terrible man, cried Miss Bartlett. But you have been very brave.
I think that Mr. Emerson will not be a problem for me after this, said Lucy. Let's go out to the others. But when she reached the open air, she stopped. A strong feeling came over her that she could not explain. She felt the autumn. Summer was ending, and darkness was coming back to the earth.
Hello, Lucy! There's still enough light for another game of tennis! Cried Freddy.
Mr. Emerson had to go.
Oh, what shall we do for a four? Cecil, will you play? It's Floyd's last day. Do play tennis with us just once.
Cecil's voice came.
I'm sorry, Freddie, but I'm no good at sport. As you said this morning, there are some men who are only good for novels, and I am that man.
At that moment, Lucy saw how terrible Cecil was and could not understand why she was with him. She decided not to marry him or anyone else ever. She gave him the news that same evening.